Good morning. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah Chav Dal. We're starting with the Mishnah Chav Gimel and Beis, and we are continuing along Kiddush HaChodesh. So the process, as we've discussed already numerous times, is that Edim are coming into the Beis and testifying over the witnessing of the new moon, and they're just going to be cross-examined just a little bit, and upon good answers to all the questions that are asked of them. So Beis Din will accept two of them. That's all they need. What about everyone else that showed up? Well, the Mishnah is going to discuss that in just a moment. Beis Din, upon accepting their edus, is going to declare the new month, and everything is good, right? Shalom Yisrael. Okay, so that's basically what we're going to go through today, although a lot of exciting discussions today, a little bit more astronomy for today. Let's begin the Mishnah. Ketzer bot kinas ha'edim, the Mishnah Chav Gimel and Beis. Second Mishnah. So exactly what's the questions that are going to be asked to the Edim. So Zug Shabbat Rishon. So first of all, we have the first pair that comes in. That's all we need. We just need one pair. So the first pair that comes in, so Bot Kenosel Rishon. So that's who we're going to inquire first. And Machnisin Esagadol Shabahem. So amongst now the two, in other words, so the first pair that came in is the one that's going to be interrogated. And the older one, right, the Gadol Shabahem, Va'omrim Lo. And more case of Reisa Salavana. So it's a simple Q&A. And that is, how did you see the moon? So, lifnei acham lachar, acham, did you see it before the sun or after the sun? Litzfona l'drama, did you see it to the north or to the south? Now, all this we're going to be discussing in just a little bit more detail a little bit later on in terms of the questions that are asked. And kama haya gavoa, how high was it off the horizon? Ula ayin haya nota, in which direction did it face? The kama haya rachav, and how wide was it? So, im amar lifnei acham, so good. So those are a series of questions that are asked. Basically, the questions all revolve around the one simple idea of, could you describe? In other words, describe the moon that you saw. And obviously, there are description points of the moon. And again, in a moment, we're going to go over some more details. But, okay, describe the moon. So, im amar lifnei acham alo amar klum. Now, if he said that the moon was in front of the sun, so at that point in time, he said nothing, meaning that is not significant towards the witnessing of the new moon. And so, therefore, dismissed. Now, there are a number of other wrong answers that could have been given over here. Why the Mishnah is focusing only on this one particular wrong answer as opposed to other wrong answers, not totally clear. But regardless, the point is that if he gives an answer that's not supported by just simply empirical data, okay, so you dismiss him. And then afterwards, what you're going to do is you're going to bring in the second witness. And again, same questions. Now, if their testimonies line up, so what do we have? We have what's called edus. That's testimony. So edus and kayama, so at that point in time now, they are properly testifying. Vishar kol azugo, shoal and osa, rashe devarim. Now, as far as all the other pairs that are there, right, as we've discussed already a number of times in the course of this parak, we're encouraging people to come. We do not want to give anyone the feeling that they are not needed, even though, quite frankly, they are not needed. But we don't want to give anyone that feeling, because what we want to do is we always want to pool the witnesses to be coming every single month. So we want people to feel good. So aside from the kiddush that we already spoke about in yesterday's daf, that we're going to be providing for them, but in addition to that, we also are just going to come in and we're going to ask them questions. I have a really good feeling that they know that their testimony is not really necessary, but still, nevertheless, it's going to make them feel good. A little interview. Lo shahayu tzrichem lahem elakadesh lo yitzo bepachin nefesh. And the Mishnah here spells it out. We don't need them at this point in time. We only need two witnesses. But nevertheless, if they're just simply dismissed, so they're going to leave despondent. Okay, right. How many times in jury duty you just sat there in the waiting room and then, you know, you weren't called up and then you left? It happens to be I didn't feel despondent. Happens to be I was elated, but okay, neither here nor there. So Bishul Shihu Regil Malavo. And again, the Mishnah over here are very, very clear in its motivation. We want to encourage them to come again. And so therefore, we're going to ask them some basic questions. Okay, good. So Adkan, the Mishnah is really straightforward, but what we're going to get involved with just a little bit. I'm not going to tackle this too head on, is some of the details regarding the moon. Okay, so again, by the way, I'm going to give everybody, myself included, like it's just a short crash course in terms of what we're looking at and what we're looking for. And so let's begin. So we're trying to describe over here the witnessing of the new moon. So first of all, some very basics that we've already covered, but let's just cover it again. Now, today's definitely an appropriate day to do so. And when do you expect to see the new moon? So first of all, the evening, not the morning. Okay, because what's happening now is that the new moon is going to be trailing the sun. So as we already pointed out, so on a monthly basis, so the sun laps the moon. Basically, they're on the same track. Everything I'm saying right now is from our perspective. In other words, I'm not describing the actual astronomical facts. I'm just simply saying how things look from where we are, because quite frankly, when you're testifying, everything's from our perspective and our perception. So over here, basically what you could do is you could draw a track up in the sky. And what's happening now is that the sun and the moon are running on that track. Now, they're running on it on a daily basis, but as we know, that's because the Earth is spinning on its own axis. So but in terms of what's happening on a monthly basis is that the sun is making a full lap around the moon on a monthly basis. So what's now happening is that the sun, again, from our perception, the sun is moving every day just a little bit further ahead, to the point where a full month passes and the sun is now at the same exact point that it was a month ago. Okay, when I say a month ago, so what are we talking about? So again, we're talking about a lunar month of 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 halakim. But for our purposes right now, let's deal it with even simpler numbers. So let's say a month is 30 days. Again, I'm ballparking over here just to make a specific point. So over 30 days, if the sun is now making a full lap around the moon, so what does that mean? So that means every single day. So you're talking about 12 degrees increment. In other words, what's happening now is that the sun is advancing 12 degrees ahead of the moon every single day. Okay, so now we are at the end of the month, right? I'm talking now about today. So today's Tuesday, Rosh Chodesh is on Friday. So now we're at the end of the month. So where do we expect now the sun and the moon? So I'll tell you exactly where to expect to find them. The one good thing about the sun and the moon is that they're super reliable. In other words, you just need to know what day it is. And as per expectation, they follow instructions perfectly. Okay, and by the way, in the davening, in the first bracha of Shema, so we describe that. They're consistent. So now at this point in time, so we are expecting, and which is correct, is that the moon is a little bit ahead of the sun, but the sun is creeping up on the moon until we get to the point of the molot, until we get to the point of conjunction. So the molot is sometime on Friday. Okay, I forgot exactly when. I know it was announced on Shabbos, but whatever. The molot is on Friday, so today's Tuesday. So we are about 3 days away now from the molot, approximately. Okay, so we're about 3 days away. So where do we expect to be in terms of degrees? So 3 times 12. So we're 36 degrees off. In other words, right now, so the moon now is ahead of the sun by about 36 degrees. So if it's not clear today, but if you were to look up and it was a clear day, and immediately after the sun rises, the sun is not the illumination of the sun is not going to be that intense, you would be able to see just a little sliver of the moon ahead of the sun, but only in the morning, right? Well, what about the evening? You're not going to see anything in the evening. In other words, in the evening, so the sun is setting, the moon is in front of the sun. So by the time the sun is set, the moon is already gone. It's already out of view. Okay. So in the morning, so you'll be able to see the old moon. Now what's going to happen is that 3 days from now, you're going to have conjunction. And now what's going to happen now is that the sun is ahead of the moon. And now what's going to happen is that towards the evening, so as the sun is setting and as the illumination of the sun is diminishing, so we're going to see a trailing moon. It's called the new moon. And under those circumstances now, what the Edom are now seeing is they're actually seeing now the new moon, the Levana Behischad Shah. So in its newness, and that's where they're coming to testify. With all that stated, that's only a little bit of information. Actually, I'm just going to give us a little bit more information so that we even appreciate this just even a little bit more. So the witnessing of the new moon, again, in this particular scenario, would occur. It won't occur Friday night in this month's scenario, because the molot is sometime Friday. As we pointed out, it's a little bit after the molot, you're not going to be able to see the new moon. Now, we saw Rashi earlier in our Masechta. Rashi says that in some places around the world, you would be able to see the new moon some 6 hours after the molot. As I pointed out, that's a little bit difficult, 6 hours. So if one day equals 12 degrees, 6 hours, which is a quarter of a day, so that's 3 degrees. We're talking about 3 degrees off of conjunction and your ability to see the new moon. Okay, that's a little bit challenging, but regardless, the point is that we're only going to be seeing the new moon sometime after the molot. Probably Motzei Shabbos, probably, right? Again, if it's clear, you'll see if I'm right about this. So probably Motzei Shabbos will be our first appearance of the new moon. But remember, Motzei Shabbos now, you're only about 24 hours after the conjunction. So you're going to be seeing the smallest little sliver of the new moon trailing the sun. And your window of seeing it is going to be really small because it's going to be maybe 12 degrees behind the sun. So by the time the sun sets, the moon's going to be setting there shortly after. Okay. Anyway, and again, by the way, now you're hopefully seeing the cycle a little bit better. In other words, already a week after the Molad, so you're already now 1 week later, 7 times 12. So you're good. So you are now significantly later. You're going to be seeing a lot more of the sun. It's going to be right almost 90 degrees away from the sun. So that means that as the sun is setting, the moon is going to be directly over ahead. Good. And 2 weeks later into the month, I'm just entertaining myself. 2 weeks later into the month, so what we expect now is that the moon is going to be 180 degrees away from the sun, and that's exactly what is in fact the case. Okay, good. With all that stated, so now, I'm sorry, and one other important detail, and that is where is the moon going to be rising and setting on the horizon? So the answer is pretty much it's going to follow the track of the sun, meaning that the Earth is rotating on its axis, but what it's not doing is that it's not rotating straight along its axis. It's not a perfect parallel running perpendicular to the equator, but rather the Earth is tilted. Earth is tilted by about 23 degrees, approximately. So so with this tilt of the Earth now as it's revolving around the sun, so what that does is that it gives us a slanted pathway of the sun. The sun's pathway is not running along the equator, and the truth of the matter is neither is the moon. The moon is also not running along the equator, but rather this angled line, if you will, this 23-degree angled line, so we'll call it an elliptic. So as far as this line is concerned, so that'll cause the sun and the moon to be rising and setting in different points of the horizon. And what is it going to be dependent on? It depends on what season we're in. Okay, so if we are in the summer months, so the expectation now is that the sun and the moon are going to be rising, and they're going to be heading in a course that is in the southern hemisphere. In the winter months, the sun and the moon are going to be rising, and their course is going to be in the northern hemisphere. Or otherwise stated, in the winter time, we're going to be having a lot less sun over the course of the day. Most of the time, the sun is going to be hanging out on the southern hemisphere, but in other words, away from us. In the summer months, so the sun's going to be spending more time in the day. Okay. Anyway, all this becomes significant because now, in terms of where the sun and moon are going to be rising and setting. So in the east and the west, rising and setting in the west, but in the summer months, it's going to be more on the southern side of the horizon. In the winter months, it's going to be on the northern side of the horizon. Okay, good. So far, so good. All that becomes really important information as we go now through the Gemara. Hainu lifnei achama, hainu litzvona. Hainu la'achar achama, hainu ledroma. So the Gemara now is bothered by the series of questions that were asked in our Mishnah. And that is in our Mishnah, so it sounds like we're asking multiple questions, but the Gemara is bothered by the fact that, what do you mean multiple questions? It's pretty much the same. So lifnei achama is to the north. Okay, now, the simplest way to explain the Gemara, although there are a number of ways to explain the Gemara, but the simplest way to explain the Gemara is that basically what's happening now is that the moon and the sun are following in the same elliptic. They're following in the same pathway. And now, if the moon were in front of the sun, so first of all, as we already know, that's not the new moon, that's the old moon. We also know, because of the angled pathway that it's taken, so it would, if it in fact were the old moon, so not only would it be in front of the sun, but it would also be towards the north, right? So the north of the sun, yeah. Because again, it's not coming straight down. What's happening is that it's coming down on an angle. And the angle is such so that if it's the old moon that were in front of the sun, it'd be to the north of the sun. If it's the new moon that's trailing the sun, it'd be to the south of the sun. And so the Gemara is bothered by the fact that when the Mishnah is telling us, well, did you see it in front or did you see it behind? Did you see it to the north or did you see it to the south? Hainu hach, it's the same question. So Amar Abai, so Abai's response is, Begi Masal Fnei Achama L'Achar Achama. Ah, so Abai says no. So one of the questions we're going to have to reinterpret, and that is, which way do you see the Pegima? Okay, in other words, new moon or old moon, either one. So what there's going to be is there's going to be a crescent. And so one side is going to be convex and the other side is going to be concave. Okay, convex is the one that butts, that juts out, right? Concave is this side that, you know, that comes inward towards the center. So what the Abai's understanding of the Mishnah is that the question is, which side did you see the Pegima? Facing the moon or, I'm sorry, facing the sun or away from the sun? Now, it happens to be that we know that the concave side of the moon never faces the sun, and for a really good reason, because what are we seeing when we see the moon? All we're seeing is a reflection of the sun. So needless to say, it is going to be the exterior of the moon that's going to be lit. We're never going to see the quote-unquote open side of the moon facing the sun. But nevertheless, though, what we're asking the witnesses is, could you please describe it? Meaning, we know what the right answer is. We just now want to know if the witnesses are capable of identifying that which they saw. And if they say, in other words, if they're telling us that the concave side of the moon is facing the sun, so at that point in time, we're going to be saying to them, okay, thank you very much. You're dismissed. In other words, they're not describing what they actually saw. Okay, so basically what happened in the Gemara is that the Gemara was bothered by what seems to be a redundant question, and the Gemara's explanation is no, it's the second question was not about the positioning of the moon relative to the sun, but rather was asking a different question, which side of the moon is facing the sun? The concave side or the convex side? The Gemara continues, De Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my dichsif. Okay, so the Gemara now is going to be spending just a couple of lines in terms of drush. We're going to be darshaning why the moon is the moon's convex side is facing the sun, not the concave side. So again, what happens over here, and this happens throughout, is that we can give a empirical, quote unquote, scientific explanation of it, but the Gemara also explains it b'derech hadrusha as well. So with the right, the and one is not to exclude the other. It just simply be it simply is that the Gemara has a drush to explain it as well. So, mipnei ma, I'm sorry, my dichsiv, sorry. My dichsiv, we're on chav gimel mud beis, we're about three lines from the bottom, not about. So the pasuk says, hamashal ba'ufach animo, osa shalom bir mamav, so me olam la rasa chama pigimasa shalavana, velo pigimasa shal keshes. Velo pigimasa shal keshes. So, as far as what the chama is never going to see, the chama is never going to see the pigimasa of the lavana. It will never see the concave side of the moon. Again, we could provide a scientific explanation, but now the Gemara is going to be providing an explanation of Alpi Drush. And also, what we're also not going to be seeing is that the sun is never going to be seeing the Pekima of the Keshes, meaning the Keshes also. The only side of the Keshes that's facing the sun is going to be the convex side, not the concave side. So the Gemara says, Pekima Sosha Levana de Chashadaita. Now, the Gemara is going to give a Majrashika explanation. As far as the moon is concerned, so why is the moon never going to be, quote unquote, facing the sun? Facing over here means its concave side. So why is the moon never facing the sun? So the Gemara says, because chul shadayte. The Gemara over here is based on the Medrash. We're all familiar with the Medrash that originally at Maisa Bereishis, so the sun and the moon were of the same intensity, same size, same intensity. And then what happened? What happened was, is that an argument ensued and Akash Baruch instructed the moon to minimize in its illumination. Okay? Every time we're Mekadesh Levana, so we make reference to this. Okay? We're all familiar with the Medrash. And so, in terms of assigning, quote unquote, a relationship between the two now, so there's Chalisha's Das, meaning that the moon, quote unquote, got demoted. That's why the moon is not going to be facing the sun. Now, as far as the Keshes is concerned, Pegima Sashal Keshes, the Lo Limru, Ovdei Acham Agirei, Kamishajay. So, as far as the Keshe is concerned, so for those people who are over the Sachama, so if in fact the Keshes was not facing upward, but it were facing downward, so the Ovde Chama would be reinforced with this imagery that the sun is almost like shooting at our world, at our people. Okay. Quite frankly, the first one I understand, the second one, I'm a little bit confused. I understand the basic imagery. In other words, but if the rainbow were facing downward as opposed to facing upwards, so then people who worship the sun are going to be more bolstered by their argument of, oh, look what the sun is doing. Okay. Kadosh Baruch Hu is so worried about the Ovdei Chama that they don't want to reinforce the thinking whatsoever. And that's the explanation in terms of why the rainbow is facing up and not down. Okay. That's a little bit challenging, but that's Rav Yochanan's explanation in terms of why the rainbow is not, why the rainbow's convex side is facing the sun, not the concave side. Okay. Kama yugavov alav ulayin hayanote. Okay. Now, we're going to be talking about the sun. Sorry. We're going to be talking about the moon in terms of where it's going to be dropping. Tanachada. L'tzvona dvarv kayamim, l'droma lo amar klom, v'tanyi ipcha, l'droma dvarv kayamim, l'tzvona lo amar klom. Okay, so we have conflicting brises in terms of where the expectation is that the moon is going to be located. One brisa talks about the north, and the south is no good, and the other brisa says, no, the south and the north is no good. And lo kasha kambia mosak chamav, kambia mosak shamim. And the Gemara today basically says, well, it depends on which season are we in. Are we in the Yemos HaChama? Are we in the summer? Are we in the Yemos HaGeshamim? Are we in the summer? I'm sorry, are we in the winter? Okay, and just allow me to give a really simple pshat in the Gemara over here. And this pshat actually is offered by the Rambam in his Perush HaMishnayos. A really simple pshat, and it's based on what we said just earlier this morning. In other words, what ends up happening is that in the winter, so your sun and your moon are going to be rising on the northern part of the eastern horizon, setting on the northern part of the western horizon, and in the summertime. So now what you're gonna find is that the sun and the moon are rising on the southern portion of the eastern horizon and setting on the southern portion of the eastern horizon. I'm sorry, the western horizon. And really, the truth of the matter is that's what the Gemara here means. Okay, if you will notice over here, there's an extraordinarily long Rashi over here that gives a different explanation, not the one that I just offered. The one that I just offered is really straightforward and really easy. So Rashi over here gives a different explanation. Quite frankly, this pshat that Rashi offers over here is extraordinarily challenging. As you would imagine, for the daf purposes, we're not going to go through the Rashi right now. But Rashi offers a different pshat, and he's trying to explain it in terms of the moon relative to the sun and how it could be that sometimes it's to the north, sometimes it's to the south, depending on the season. Please see Rashi for more on that. We're going to go on in the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. Echon amar gavoa beis mardalos, v'echon amar gimel edus en kayemis. How much higher are we over the horizon? Now, I say over the horizon, even though I say that, and I'm pretty sure that's a great pshat in the Gemara, I'm a little bit confused. How high was it over the horizon? Kind of depends when they see it. Meaning, did they see it immediately before sunset, sometime after sunset? Kind of depends where we are in terms of, well, I mean, we know that we are not so far off from the sun, meaning this is the new moon. So it's going to be somewhere between 3 to 12 degrees away from the sun. All right, so, but it kind of still depends on when. But nevertheless, the point is as follows, is that there is an idea that you're going to be seeing it somewhere over the horizon. So let's measure over the horizon. Now, measuring over the horizon, that's tricky, meaning it kind of depends on what you're using as your measuring instrument and how far you're holding it away from your eye. So admittedly it's tricky, but somehow we're going to give numbers, and I'm not particularly sure how we're arriving at these particular numbers. But anyway, the point is as follows, is that what we'll allow a margin of error between the witnesses. And there's an allowable margin of error, and then there's too much deviation between the testimony of the two witnesses where we're not going to allow. If one witness says two and the other one says three, allowable margin of error. Now, the Gemara's language over here is mardas. Mardas is some sort of goad that's used to prod along the animals. Okay, so again, it's some sort of standardized measurement. Again, it really depends on how far away you're holding it from you in order to measure the distance between the horizon and the moon that's above it. Regardless, the point is that a margin of error is allowed, 2 versus 3. However, echad amar begimel ve'echad amar hey, edus en betel. If one says 3 and the other one says 5, that's already too far away from one another. The two positions are considered outliers of one another, and therefore no good. However, that doesn't disqualify them to Eidus in general. It just simply means that we cannot take the two testimonies and put them together because they're just too far apart from one another. Tanu Rabbanan, Reinu Bamayim, Reinu Be'ashashis, Reinu Be'avim, Ein Me'idin Alav. So what happens when you see the moon, but not a direct sight of the moon? You see it either in reflection of water. You see it through something opaque. You see it through a cloud. So that is not a good enough visualization of the moon. The visualization of the moon has to be direct. And so therefore, if you're only seeing reflections or through a cloud, just simply unacceptable. And then chetzer b'mayim, chetzer b'avim, chetzer b'ashosh, say me'idin alav. If you see only half of it through either reflection or through a cloud, that's no good. And the Gemara is just simply bothered by the Braisa. So hashta kula amar lo chetzer mibaye. If I saw the entire moon, but only via reflection, or if I saw the entire moon, but only through a cloud, that's no good. So seeing half a moon in these less than perfect conditions is for sure going to be no good. So Allahachi Kamar, the Gemara says, great point. So the Gemara says, so I'm just going to show you how to read the Braisa. And chetzer b'mayim, chetzer b'rakia, chetzer b'avim, chetzer b'rakia, chetzer b'ashoshes, chetzer b'yarkiv, ein me'idin. Okay, the Gemara says, so now I'm teaching you how to read the Braisa. What the Braisa means is that I saw some of the moon clearly, right, directly, but some part of the moon without clarity. In other words, the other part of the moon I only saw via reflection or behind a cloud. So the point is that if you did not have a direct visualization of the entire new moon, no good. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Re'inu v'shuv lo re'inu ein me'idin alav. So the Braisa says that you saw the moon, then you didn't see the moon, you can't testify. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand that Braisa, kol hecha, kol hachi, chazila v'azlei. What? Were you supposed to keep your eye on the moon the whole time? And as we've already described, the moon is going to dip below the horizon. So obviously there's going to come a point in time where you're not going to see it anymore. What in the world does the Braisa mean when it says you saw it and then you didn't see it? So Amar Abaye Achli Kamar. So again, Abaye comes along and Abaye says, allow me please to show you how to read the Braisa. Re'inu me'aleinu v'shavnu l'roso midatenu. So we saw the moon, but we saw the moon without any kind of thought. Meaning, just happens to be that we were walking around and we saw the new moon. But with no real concentration. Ah. So, but then we looked at each other and we said, oh, wait one second. We could serve as witnesses, to Beis Din. So now let's take a really good look at the moon. Meaning, right? You saw it? Yeah, I saw it. But we weren't looking at it consciously with the intention to testify. And now, Valorino. But then when we looked up to actually see the moon and we looked now with purpose and with mission, and at that point in time, we didn't see the moon. So, ain me'idin alav. Ma'itame imar, kuchiva de'iva ba'amahu de'chaze. Ah. Because if in that first viewing you weren't consciously looking at the moon, so it could very well be that what caught your eye wasn't the moon. Who knows? It was maybe it was a cloud, maybe it was some sort of shooting star. Whatever the case was, it wasn't the moon. So in other words, what you have to do is that you have to look at the moon purposefully. Then and only then could you go to Beis Din and testify in Beis Din. Okay. We're up to the next mission. We're Chavdal Amid Aleph, Rosh Beis Din Omer Mekudesh V'cholam Onim Acharav Mekudesh Mekudesh. The mission then talks about what happens after the acceptance of the witnesses, and that is that a formal process. Beis Din will announce that the new moon has been witnessed, and we are now sanctifying today as Rosh Chodesh. And when the people hear this, so they're going to respond Mekudesh Mekudesh, the formal process of now the today actually serving as the first day of Rosh Chodesh. Now, Bein Shenira Bezmano, Bein Shelonira Bezmano, Mikashinoso. Now, this idea of Kiddush HaChodesh. So, are we going to do it on the 30th day and the 31st? Now, when I say and, I want to explain that conjunction and carefully. Obviously, every Rosh Chodesh is only one of the days which is going to be serving as Rosh Chodesh. But what it means is as follows, is that in any given month, it's either going to be the 30th or the 31st day. And we just learned together that there's a formal process of being Mekadesh as a Chodesh, of actually sanctifying the month. Now, if it's the 30th day, meaning the previous month was 29 days and it's the 30th days, so you understand that we have to be Mekadesh today because there's an alternate day that could become Rosh Chodesh, which would, of course, be tomorrow. So in order to show and demonstrate everybody, it's not tomorrow, but rather it's today. So we're going to be Mekadosh today if, of course, there are witnesses and they saw the moon and they came and testified. The issue that the Mishnah now is going to deal with is the following. Let's say we weren't Mekadosh it today. Whatever, there weren't witnesses who came. The witnesses came, but their testimony was not accepted. Whatever the case was, the 30th day is not going to be the Yom Mekudesh. Rather, the 30th day is just going to be the 30th day of the previous month. And now, what ends up happening is that we're on day 31. Okay, so today is going to become Rosh Chodesh. That is Pasha. That's obvious. That today is going to be Rosh Chodesh. Do I have to be Mekadosh day 31? That's what our Mishnah here is addressing. And the Mishnah brings down a machlokus on this very point. According to the Tanakhama, Bein Shenira Bizmano, Bein Shalonira Bizmano, Mekadoshin Oso. So whether we're being Mekadosh day 30, which everyone agrees that you have to be Mekadosh, if in fact day 30 is going to turn into Rosh Chodesh, but even if it's day 31, where there is no alternative, of course, if day 30 is not Mekadosh, so day 31 is going to be Rosh Chodesh. Still, according to the Tanakhama, I have to be Mekadosh. And presumably what's behind the sheet of the Tanakhama, it's a mitzvah, meaning mitzvah lekadesh. There's a mitzvah to go ahead and to sanctify the new month. And so even though we know the conclusion, nevertheless, there's still a process of kiddush. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Omer, Im lo nira bezmano, ein mekadshin oso shekvar kichu v'shamayim. And on this, so Rabbi Lazar disagrees. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok says that no. That day 30 needs kiddush. However, on day 31, where we all know the conclusion, it does not need kiddush. Rosh based in v'chulei minani mili. The Gemara now is just going to cite a number of drushas. So how do I know minani mili? I'm Rabbi Chia, Bargam, Dam, Rabbi Yosef, Ben Shol, I'm Rabbi, I'm a Kra. Vaidab, Rabbi Moshe, Smaadi Hashem, Mikan Shem, Rosh based in Omer Mekudosh. Okay. So we're just following along in the psukim. So Moshe now is speaking out Moadei Hashem. How is he speaking out Moadei Hashem? Meaning the only way we're going to get to Moed is only by being Mekadosh Rosh Chodesh. Good. So that's based in being Mekadosh. And that's their line of saying that the month is in fact sanctified. So Kari Bey Atem. So even though it's the word is Osam, but it could be read as Atem, meaning that you have to respond. Okay. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Elohim Moadai, Heim Yomru Moadai. Okay. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak has a different drasha. It's Elohim Moadai, and the Heim is going on us, meaning in our response. Okay. A different drasha. Mekush, Mekush, Rei Zimna Lamali. Why do we have to repeat it? Why do we have to say it two times? Meaning, we certainly know that we have to respond. We have two different drushas in terms of getting there, but we have to repeat it. So dichsiv mikra e kodesh. We're going to call it out, and the word mikra is in Lashon Rabim. Okay, so we call it out two times. Okay, the Gemara is not giving explanations. The Gemara is just simply giving us drushas that arrive at this conclusion. But in terms of svara, so the Gemara right now is not providing svaras. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Tzedek, Omer, Imlo, Nira, Bizmano, Eim, Mekachin, Oso, Tanya, Plima, Omer, Bizmano, Eim, Mekachin, Oso, Shalom, Bizmano, Mekachin, Oso. So the Gemara quotes a brisa, a machlokis on when we're going to be Mekadosh. So, bizmano, if we're doing it, bizman, zman meaning on day 30. So, there we're not going to be Mekadosh. Shelo bizmano, meaning day 31, that under those circumstances, we are going to be Mekadosh. It's an interesting shita by Plimo in terms of the svara would seem, if anything, to be the opposite. In fact, our Mishnah brings an opposite svar to that. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, Omer, Ben Kach, Ben Kach, Ein Mekashin Arso, Shenemar, Vikid Hashem, Shnas, HaChamishim, Shnai, Shanim, Atam, Mekadosh, V'i, Atam, Mekadosh, Chadashim. A Joshua that we saw earlier in the Masechta, the sheet of Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, and that is that we're not Mekadosh months, we're Mekadosh years, right? Mekadosh Shanim, the Shnat HaChamishim, the 50th year is Mekudosh, otherwise known as Yovel, but we're not going to be Mekadosh months. Okay, so according to Rabbi Shimon, there is no mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. Again, right, it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it. Obviously, Beis Din has a requirement, an obligation, to set which day is going to be Rosh Chodesh. But in terms of the actual process and the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, so according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, there's no such mitzvah. Amrav Yehuda, Amrav Shmuel, Halachik, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok, the Gemara now cites B'Shem Shmuel, the halacha falls like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Tzedek. Who's Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Tzedek? That's back in our Mishnah. Meaning that right now, how many shitas are there in terms of Kiddush HaChodesh? So, rather remarkably, there are four different shitas. Two we saw in the Mishnah, and two we just saw in the Braisa. The shitas of Plimo and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon in the Braisa. The shita of the Tanakama and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Tzedek of our Mishnah. So the Gemara quotes, B'Shem Shmuel, the halacha falls like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Tzedek. What's his shita again? His shita is that on a Zman month, Zman meaning if we're going to take day 30 and move that to Rosh Chodesh, convert that to Rosh Chodesh, that requires Kiddush. But on day 31, where there's no alternative, we all know now that day 30 was not Mekudesh, and now day 31, so Kvar Kachua Min HaShemayim. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu already determines Rosh Chodesh, meaning we don't need to be Mekadesh because there's simply no alternative. Am Rabbi Afanami Tanina Abai says, good, and we're holding the same as well. Rahu based in V'chol Yisrael, Nechu Ra'edim, V'lo Yispikul Amar Mekudesh HaShechashecha, Hare Ze Me'ubar. So what happens now where it's day 30, and the witnesses come, and they saw the new moon, and they came to base, and they testified. And we're trying to get through the process so that we can be Mekadosh today, but it just happens to be that it's procedural, and it takes time, and we just simply couldn't get our act together. Basin couldn't get their act together, whatever the case was, and now we're the sun set, and we're now already moved on to the next day. So not only did we miss our opportunity to be Mekadosh the day 30, but at that point in time, now day 31 becomes de facto day Rosh Chodesh, and you don't need to be Mekadosh. Not only do you not need to be Mekadosh, there's no point in doing so. And that's exactly the Gemara's point. Me'ubar in Mekudosh lo. Yeah, it's Me'ubar, not Mekudosh. Meaning, point being, that Rosh Chodesh just simply transitions to the next day, without Beis Din needing to be Mekadeshit. So it's the Rechlei Sakadah Chamin Ahol Veru Beis Din V'chol Yisrael Yifer Samei V'lo Li Avru Kamash Malan. The Gemara says, look, I, the halacha may be like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Tzedek, but from this most recent Braisa that we just quoted, I don't know if you can make such a big deal about it. Meaning, I don't know if it's Meduyak. Maybe the Braisa is just telling me the following. The Braisa, maybe if we got to day 31, Beis Din's going to be Mekadesh. What's the point of the Braisa? The point of the Braisa is as follows. The new moon came into appearance on day 30. Witnesses saw it. Witnesses came to Beis Din. Witnesses now are pretty much finished with the testimony. It just happens to be that we haven't finished the procedure until the day was over. I might have thought as a Havamina, look, the moon was seen on day 30. Witnesses came. Witnesses are testifying. We got through most of the process. So maybe let's just make day 30 Rosh Chodesh. We didn't finish it. The Havamina would be, yeah, but we know. We know that day 30 was really Rosh Chodesh. That's the Havamin. And the Maskana of the Bryce is no. As long as you didn't finish the process on day 30, so then it does not become Rosh Chodesh. But the Bryce is not there to teach us that the day 31 is Mekudesh Me'elav without Beis Din requiring it to do it. In other words, the Bryce is not necessarily there to be meduyik like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Tzedek. Okay, anyway, when all said and done, in terms of from the Mishnah to where we are right now, so a discussion regarding which, if any, of the days of Rosh Chodesh are Beis Din going to actually be Mekadesh. Our Mishnah has two shitas, Tanakam and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Tzedek. The Braisa quoted two more shitas, Plimo and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, and the Gemara favors the shita of Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Tzedek, that on day 30, Beis Din's Mekadesh. On day 31, there's no need to. Kfar kachu min hashamayim. Okay. Demusteris levana. Hailal rabbin gamliel. Bitavla. Uve kosel ba'aliaso. Shebehen marisa hajotas v'omer hachazer ita okazeh. Okay. So now this Mishnah over here, it is a fun Mishnah with a really important discussion that's ensuing. And that is rabbin gamliel and his charts. Witnesses would come. Okay. Witnesses weren't always necessarily the most educated, the most informed. They not necessarily Talmidei Chachamim. And so, Rebbe Gamliel had a really simple process in terms of what he would do with the witnesses. So the witnesses would come into the basin around Rebbe Gamliel, and he'd roll down his chart, and he said, could you point to what you saw? And he had different pictures of the moon, right? Different phases of the moon. I'm sure they were pointing in different directions. Okay, in other words, point to the right one. Point to the one you saw. Okay, good. And that's what the Mishnah over here is describing. And so, good. It's a really simple Mishnah. It's a really straightforward Mishnah. The Gemara's discussion is all going to revolve around one question, and that is, pictures of the moon? What? You're allowed to draw pictures of the moon? The Gemara said, I didn't know you're allowed to draw pictures of the moon. Umishari, the Gemara says, well, wait 1 second. Vaksiv, los asun itin. So you're not allowed to be ose et together with me. Good. Right, the pasuk in the Aser Sadibros regarding Avodah Zarah. And los asun kidmus shamashai. And the Gemara now quotes the Brisa, and the Brisa says, beferush, that what you're not allowed to do is demus shamashai. Any image of that which serves me, so you're not allowed to make such an image. So I'm Rabbi Lo Asar Torah Elo Shamashim Shef Shalasos and Kamosan. So Abai says, no, you misunderstood. What we're not allowed to replicate are things that are replicatable. Okay, I know I make up words. But as long as we understand each other, it's good. So the Kiddetanya, the Gemara says here, I'll quote a Braisa. And that is Lo Yase Adam based Tavnis Echal, Ach Sadra, Tavnis Ulam Chatzer, Keneged Azara Shalahem, I'm sorry. Ulam Chatzer, Keneged Azara Shochan, I'm sorry, Azara Shochan, Keneged Shochan, Menorah, Keneged Menorah. So what you can't do is that none of us are allowed to replicate any of the clay based Hamikdash. Aval, Ose, Shel Chamisha, Vishal Shisha, Vishal Shmona, Vishal Shiva, Lo Yase. So you want to make a menorah? So good. So make a menorah that has five, what's it called? Thank you. Okay. Five branches, six branches, eight branches, not seven. V'afil shasharmi nematchos. And even if it's not made up of gold, still, if it's made up of metal, you can't do it. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar, afil shalaitz, lo yaseh kederach shasu malcha beis chashmonai. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says that, you know, there was a time historically where they made the candlestick out of wood. Right, the Beis Chashmonaim after the Yevanim were metame the Beis Hamikdash, so they had a wooden menorah, and that teaches us that a wooden menorah is kosher, and so therefore now a wooden menorah, since it was used historically for a period of time, therefore going to be prohibited for any of us to replicate, and to which they say to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, you got that one wrong. So Amarlo, they say to him, Isham Raya, no, you got that one wrong. Shpunim Shalbar Zahayu, the truth of the matter is that it was made up of a metal, and Vechifim Bebats, and they put some sort of plating on it, and Hashira Asum Shal Kesef, and then when they got wealthier, they made it out of silver, and Chazra Hashiru Asum Shal Zav, and eventually it was made out of gold. But the point is that the menorah, even of the Beis Chashmonai, was never made out of wood, and so therefore a wooden menorah is never kosher, and therefore there's no iser in making a replica if in fact you're making it out of wood, because such a thing is not was not in the actual Beis HaMikdash as well. Okay, so basically, it sounds like we're at the following point, and this sugya over here, by the way, is going to go through a lot of change in shape and. And so we've got to really follow. But at this point in time, Rabbi Gamliel had moons on the wall. The Gemara was shocked. How can you do that? You're not allowed to do that. The Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. What you're not allowed to do is that you're not allowed to replicate things that are replicatable, meaning they are Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, the actual Beis HaMikdash itself. So for that, we're not allowed to replicate. That's Lo Sasun Iti. Okay, right now, that's what we're holding. So right now, the Gemara is holding that making a moon in of itself is fine. That's acceptable. So the Gemara says, really? V'shamashim sheyef shal asos and kamosa mishare? So the Gemara says, really? So it's something that we can't make, meaning we can't make a moon. And therefore, we can't make an image of a moon. Therefore, we're allowed to draw an image of a moon. The Gemara says, I don't think you're right about that. V'atanya. The Gemara quotes a braisa. Lo sasun iti lo sasun kidmu shamashai ham shamshim lefanai marom. So now we are learning a second braisa. This braisa over here is really clear. One is not allowed to make an image of shamashai hamishamshim b'fanai b'marom. Anything that's serving up upstairs, so we're not allowed to make images of that. So now, when we say things that are serving upstairs, so what are we describing over here? So presumably what we're describing is the sun and the moon. All right, we know what they look like. So Amar Abai lo asra Torah ella demus arba panim behade hadade. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. We are not describing the sun and the moon. What we're describing right now is demus arba panim, four images. Right, on Akash Baruch Hu's kisei hakavod, there are four images. Which four images are we describing over here? So the kisei hakavod is described in the beginning of Sefer Yecheskel, and so there are four images that are flanked. Lion. I should be able to do this. Okay. Right. Lion. Lion. Ox. Human. And Nesher, which we normally translate as eagle. We're probably not right about that. Yep. Anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter. Okay. So the images on the kisei hakavod, that's what the Bryce is describing. And the Bryce is not describing the sun and the moon. At least that's what we think. So the Gemara says, Elami ata pirsav adam lechudei tishtare. So the Gemara says, right now, okay, fine. So what you're telling me is that you're not allowed to draw all four images, but one of the images should be fine. The Gemara says, but that's not true. So Allah Matanya call Pratsofas Mutarm Chutzmi Pirtsafadam. You want to draw the face of any animal, you may do so, but Pirtsafadam you're not allowed to do. So Am Ravuna Bered Ravidi mi Pirkadabai Shamili Lo Sasun Iti Lo Sasun Osi. So the Gemara says, oh, for Pirtsafadam, for the image of a human face, so that you're not allowed to draw because we have a drasha. The Pasuk says Lo Sasun Iti and Lo Sasun Osi. We are made Bitzel Malukim. Again, to the best of our understanding, kaviyachol, as if we can say that, meaning the Torah gives us an allowance to say that, but not that we understand what that means, but we do understand, however, that the image of a human is B'Tselem Elokim, and so therefore that you're not allowed to draw. So fine. So where are we right now? Again, as I pointed out, the Gemara over here is a little bit challenging to follow because, you know, we're shifting a number of times. So right now, what we're not allowed to do is not, we're not allowed to draw images of the Beis HaMikdash, replicas of the Beis HaMikdash. We're not allowed to make replicas of the images of the Kisei HaKavod. We're not allowed to replicate the image of a human. Ah, good. Now, when I say replica, by the way, so a number of times I did say drawings, so stay tuned. In other words, we're going to try to clarify that at the end of the sugya, although admittedly that part's going to be tricky. Vishar Shamashim Ishare. So the Gemara says, okay, now what about the other things that are serving up in Shamayim? Right now at this juncture of the Gemara, we seem to be okay with it. In other words, and again, that's really where we want to end up anyway, because Rabbi Gamliel had on his wall, and we would like to assume that he's doing, you know, he's not violating an Avera. So the Gemara says, Vahatanya, but the Gemara says, here, but I have another Braisa. I guess we'll call it Braisa number three. I don't know. Kind of losing track over here. But we do have another Braisa. And that is Lo Sasun Iti, Lo Sasun Kidmusha Mashai, Ham Sham Shem Lefanai Bamarom. So over here, the Braisa starting off the same like we saw previously, but then the Braisa goes and gives us a little bit more description. Kigon, Ofanim, Usrafim, Vechayos HaKodesh, Omalachi HaSharis. Now, I admit, by the way, the challenge of this Braisa. Thank you. So the challenge of this Braisa is that how do we know what they look like? So there once upon a time must have been some sort of Masara in terms of what we had a general idea of what they look like. Obviously, otherwise the Braisa is impossible to understand. Anyway, Amar Abai lo Asra Torah El Shamashim Shemamadur Ha'elyon. So the Gemara says, fine. So you're right. So there are Shamashim up in heaven that we're not allowed to replicate. You're right about that. But that's only in the upper level. Okay, now, for those of you who have been in the daf long enough, so you know that even as you go up to the up to Shemayim, so there are different floors up in Shemayim, right? I'm saying this b'derech mashal. I do not mean this literally. But in other words, if you were to take the elevator up in Shemayim, so there's, right, so he knows the Gemara. So there are seven floors in total. So right now, as far as where the sun exists and the moon and those shamashim, so they're in the lower floors. So in terms of the ofanim and the srafi, the chayos hakodesh, so they're in the upper floors. So right now, what the Gemara is trying to suggest is, the isra replication is only for those things on the upper floors. Not the sun, not the moon. They're both literally and figuratively, they're of a lower level. Okay, so there's no issa to replicate. Vishamadur atachta mishare.
The ones we can see.
Yeah.
The ones we can see, like the sun and moon.
Again, they had a Masara of what the Chayas HaKadosh looked like. They must have had some sort of Masara. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, v'shem ha'madar atachta mishara v'atanya. The Gemara says, even there, I don't think you're right. Asher b'shamayim, again, we're going back to the Pasuk in the Seres HaDibros. The second Dibra. So things that we're not allowed to do. So we're not allowed to be over to Avodah Zarah. Asher b'shamayim l'rabas chamo, levana, kochavim u'mazalos, mi ma'al, Larabos, Malach Hesharis. So we're not allowed to serve. Now I'm giving away the answer as I'm explaining the Brisa, but it's okay. So we're not allowed to serve. Not the sun, the moon, the stars, the mazalos. That is Mima'al. I'm sorry. That is Asher B'Shamayim. And the Mima'al, that's the Malach Hesharis. We're not allowed to serve the Malach Hesharis. So the Gemara says, good. So he quoted that Brisa. That Brisa is not talking about replication. That Brisa is talking about serving. That's Avodah Zarah. So Kitanya he loved them. So the Gemara says that's what that Brisa was talking about, not serving them. The Gemara says what? He loved them. Afilu shoshul katanami. So the Gemara says, you know what you're not allowed to serve as a avodah zarah? Anything, right? Shoshul, right? Anything, right? So it's really hard to imagine that the Brisa over there is describing being oved, actually serving them, because the iser of oved is an iser on anything other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So enachinami detanya. The Gemara says you're right. So we learned in the Brisa, Asher Baris, L'Rabos, Harim, Gavos, Yamim, V'Naharos, Afikim, V'Geos, and Mitachas, L'Rabos, Shoshul Katan. Okay, the Gemara says, but you're right. But in other words, but if you read on in the Brisa actually covers everything else as well. Right? Asher Baris is referring to any major landmass, and when it says Mitachas, even the Shoshul Katan. Okay, good. So really the truth of the matter is that the Brisa is talking about being oved. It's not talking about asiyah. It's not talking about replication. And fine. Okay, so, right, we're almost done. So at this juncture right now, we are, right, it's a lot of maneuvering and bobbing and weaving. But right now, we have it that in terms of replication, so we're not allowed to replicate anything in the Beis HaMikdash. We're not allowed to replicate Malachi HaSharis. We're not allowed to replicate human faces. We're not allowed to replicate anything on the Kisei HaKavod. But right now, we still have an opening where we could replicate the sun and the moon. That's where we're holding right now. And although it's true, the last Brisa, we include the sun and the moon, but that's for being oved. That's actually serving. Okay. Ve'asiyah greidos ha'mishari, the Gemara says, okay, but are you still right over there as well? Ve'atayim v'lentan the Brisa, lo sason, iti lo sason, kedmush ha'mashai, ha'misham shim lefanai kigon, and okay, good. If you've been with us long enough in the Gemara, you know that the Gemara knew about this Brisa already from the very beginning. The Gemara quoted the other Brisas. Anyway, this Brisa could not stand any clearer. Lo sasun et, that's talking about a see, it's talking about just simple replication. And the Brisa over here spells out not chama, not levana, not kochavim, not mazalos. Okay, so where we are right now, so we are stuck. Because right now we just quoted a Brisa, and the Brisa says with clarity that one is now allowed to make a replication of the moon. Okay, so now Remen Gamliel in his office, in his Beis Din, he had the moon over there. He showed it to people. So how could he do so? So Shani Remen Gamliel da Acher Masulo. So the Gemara right now says fine. So the Isser of replication is not an Isser of ownership; it's an Isser of actually making it. And so what happened is other people made it for Remen Gamliel. So that right now, that's where the Gemara is holding. And Rashi writes over here, when we say other people, so Rashi says Nachrim. Okay. So, and what you'll have to say, I mean, the Gemara is not really spelling this out. So, your point I'm going to get to in just a moment. But what you're going to have to say over here is that obviously Avodah Zarah, one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Right, so Avodah Zarah is out of the question, right? For us and for them as well. And over here, this is a different Isser. This is the Isser of Asiyah. And so, presumably, what we mean to say over here is that Asiyah is Asr for us, but not Asr for them. Okay, now, generally speaking, we also know that if we're not allowed to do something, now we normally put this by Shabbos, right? It's called... Right, it's called Amir La'akum. But Amir La'akum, Amir La'nachri, is not just for Shabbos. Amir La'nachri is for any Isser. And so over here, you have now something that we can't do for ourselves. In other words, we're not allowed to replicate the moon. we're allowed to ask a goy to do it for us? Okay. Tosus over here is bothered by that question. Shani Rami Gamlil. Da Achirim Asuf Si. Tosus over there in terms of how is this not a violation of Amir Lanachri? Okay. That's a, and Phil, that was probably your question. So Shani Rami Gamlil. Da Achirim Asuf Lo. Vaha Rav Yehuda. Da Achirim. Vaha Rav Yehuda. Da Achirim Asuf Lo. Vahamar Le Shmuel Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, but wait one second. Rav Yehuda had something similar. In other words, something was made for him by a Nachri, and now he was showing it off to his Rabbi Shmuel, and when his Rabbi Shmuel saw it, so he wasn't happy. So Amar Le Shmuel, Rav Yehuda Shinana, that was the name that Shmuel always described Rav Yehuda, a little sharp one. And he says, Sami Einei Dedein. So what you're going to do is that, right, I'm not really sure what it was. It was a, it was an image of, let's say of a person, whatever the case was. Okay, some sort of image that was made for Rav Yehuda by a guy. And Shmuel says, what you'll do is knock out an eye. In other words, you gotta disfigure it. You gotta take a piece of it off. So the Gemara says, Hasam Chotma Balotu Umishum Chashada. So the Gemara says, over there, but it wasn't just an image. Chotma Balot. It was, literally the nose was protruding. So in other words, it was three-dimensional. So, okay, Tanya, the Gemara says, Tabas Chosmo, Bolet, Aser, Lahanicha, Umutalachtamba. And Chosmo Shokea, Mutalahanicha, Vasalachtamba. Okay. And the Gemara talks about a ring over here, an insignia ring. And the insignia ring, so it depends now on whether it is protruding or whether it is, I don't know the word.
Flat.
Right? Not flat.
Concave.
Okay, good. Perfect. Okay, fine. Right. Concave. Okay, so it depends whether it's protruding or whether it's concave. So if it's protruding, that's an isser. If it's concave, well, that's fine. However, consider that's an insignia ring, which basically means is that they had the wax and they make a form of it. So when you're making a form with it, so the form now that you're making with it, well, that's going to be problematic. Okay, fine. But the ring itself, in other words, just to focus on the ring itself. So if it's protruding, that's an isser. If it's not protruding, right, the opposite, concave, so then that would be fine. So fine. So the, and the Gemara over here says that it's a function of chashad. The point is that as long as it's not protruding, it's going to be fine. So where are we with Rami Gamliel? So we're at the point where he did have images and they weren't just drawings. Meaning that they were actual, right? They were actual replications. Right? I think it's the best word. They're actually replications, molds of the moon. And he showed it to the Adam that came in. And the question, which really occupied the entire second half of today's daf, is that how can he make them? And the answer is that he didn't make them. Somebody made it for him. The Gemara says, but didn't Shmuel tell Rav Yehuda that you got to destroy it? The Gemara says that's only if it's protruding. If it's not protruding, if it's concave, so then it would be fine. So, Umi chayshin lechashad devahi bekenisha deshaf yosef benarda dehava be andarta vahava aile Rav Shmuel vaavu deshmuel v'levi umasal hasam v'lo chayshin lechashad. So the Gemara says, now you said you worry about chashad, meaning that if you have something which is protruding, so even though you didn't make it, but if you have it in your possession, so there's an issue of chashad, people suspecting that you're actually worshiping it, even if you're not worshiping it. And the Gemara says, meanwhile, there was the shul, the name of the shul was called Shaf V'Yosef. It happened to be Narda. And who davened over there, right? All the first generation Amoraim, Rav, Shmuel, Avud, Shmuel, Levi, all first generation Amoraim. And meanwhile, there was a statue right there. There was an Andarta. So the Gemara says, no, Rabim Shani. So the Gemara says, no, it's a public area. The Cheshad is when an individual owns it. But over here it was in a public area. Who made the Andarta? Not a Jew, whatever. And whatever. It was made by a non-Jew. But there's no problem with Cheshad because it's out there in the public. So the Gemara says, Vahar Rabim Gamliel Yachid Hu. So the Gemara says, okay, but back to Rabim Gamliel. So now you're introducing the following to me. So if it's made by a non-Jew, so in of itself, that's fine. But there's a chashad issue. But we just pointed out that if it's in a public area, so then there's no issue of chashad. No one's going to suspect. Rami Gamliel had it in his office. So the Gemara says the office of Rabbi Gamliel is not considered a private area. The Gemara says Vahar Rabbi Gamliel Yachidu Kevin Denasihu Shchicha Rabim Gabe. So there were many people that were by him. Okay, we're almost done. I'm telling you, we're almost done. Okay, so a lengthy discussion in the Gemara, all addressing one very simple question: how could Rabbi Gamliel have the images of the moon? And again, I say images over here. I mean, it's actual molds, right? Actual replications of the moon. So how can he have them in his office? So a lengthy discussion, all resulting in right now one answer, which is it was made by a guy. It's a public area. There's no issue of chshad. Okay. That's all but one approach. E bias ema. The Gemara says, or perhaps what we could do is we can approach this from an entirely different angle. And that is the prakim hava. And that is that it was not made, it was not one piece of whatever, metal, whatever it's made out of. But rather it was made up of little bits. A puzzle, if you will. E bais ema lihis lamed avid. He was doing it for educational purposes. Uksiv los lamed lasos, aval ata lamed lahavin laharos. So if you're making it, in order to worship it, that's the isser. But if you're making it just for the lahavin laharos, just for the purposes of education, so then it would be fine under those circumstances. Okay. So two different answers in terms of, two additional answers in terms of how Rabbi Gamliel can make it. Okay. Let's review. I know Daf went long today, but, right, I'm not teaching today, so. I'm teaching right now, and it's raining also. Okay, nach besser. Okay, good. So let's just quickly recap a daf. The first part of today's daf is the bedika that's done to the Edom who come in and they saw the new moon and what questions are going to be asked. So the Mishnah went through just an assortment of various questions that are asked. Basically, ask us to properly describe what the new moon looks like relative to the sun, relative to the horizon. We know it was on the western sky. Was it towards the north? Was it towards the south? Depends on which season it is, etc., etc. And as long as the two witnesses are coming with a similar enough story, a description of the moon, good. So now we're able to accept the testimony and anybody else who came in. So we'll ask some questions as well, so they don't leave despondent. That's the first part of today's daf. Second part.
One other question. Well, the first one says so on the moon, so we discarded. We call the second one, he said the same thing. So now that both say the same thing, which is no good, it's okay?
No, it's not. No, of course not. In other words, they're not describing the new. They're describing. Okay. Yeah. No. They wouldn't accept it under those circumstances. Okay. We'll go over it after. Okay. The second part of today's daf is when does Beis Din have to be Mekadesh the Chodesh? Four different opinions on this matter of when Beis Din is Mekadesh the Chodesh. Two brought in the Mishnah, two more in the Braisa, and the Gemara favors the Shita of Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Tzadok. Which is that if we're being Mekadosh on day number 30, so because there's another possible day that could be Rosh Chodesh, so Beis Din has to actively be Mekadosh today, day number 30, as Rosh Chodesh. If day number 30 is not Mekadosh, and now we're on day 31, so it's a de facto Rosh Chodesh, does not need the Kiddush of Beis Din. That's the Shita of Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Tzadok, and that's the one that the Gemara seems to favor. That's the second Shita that's brought down in the Mishnah. And finally, our last discussion today is that if you were an aide and you were going into the Beis Din of Rabbi Gamliel, so you had pictures, more than pictures. In other words, you had images of the moon. They are set on the wall of Rabbi Gamliel's office, and he asked you to point. What did you see? And you pointed, and the entire Amud Beis of today's daf, wants to know, how is it possible? How is it possible that Rabbi Gamliel had replications of the moon in his office? Isn't that going to be usher? A lengthy discussion comes down to three different answers. Answer number one, it was made by Nachrim. Okay, that answer still needs more explanation, but that's answer number one. Answer number two is that it was made out of pieces. In other words, it was not one piece, but it was made out of pieces, and that's okay. And answer number three is lehislamed. Is for educational purposes. Under those circumstances, it would be acceptable.